When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Premier League soccer season is heating up. Turn to Betting Weekly English Premier League on the BetRivers Network for the best bets and analysis for this week's features. Subscribe to Betting Weekly Premier League today, wherever you get your podcasts. If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the BetRivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider.
This is Danko Jones, and you're listening to Cobras and Fire. Rock is not dead.
I thought he would never let me down.
I thought he would never let me down.
So I raised my arms and fell
so
to the ground.
When I believed in God.
I'll admit it, I've done a few things that I shouldn't be proud of. Success in bed is all we need. Don't stress, undress, and I'll take the lead. See as he's on the eyes, take your time. Bet it all and let it ride. I know for sure that it's cool when it's too active. Volcanoes,
Cobras and Fire. My name is Baco, and I am joined by the intrusively meddling and curious Loose Cannon. Loose, how are you tonight?
I am well, thank you for asking. I do have to say that you forgot prying and snoopy from your list of adjectives.
Prying and snoopy, Loose Cannon.
Perfect. Thank you for introducing me properly.
You're welcome.
Yes, and how are you? Why are we here today?
Two words, baby.
Danko Jones, baby!
Correct!
Audience, those that have not heard us from the beginning, this has come full circle for Cobras and Fire.
Pretty much.
How is
time
that?
Time to finish more. It. First of all, do not go back and listen to the first episode.
What's that episode called?
It's called The Greatness of Danko Jones, correct?
Yes, it was the second episode right after I finally stopped kind of blundering through during this
yourself.
By myself. Talking to myself like an insane person. Yeah, that's hard to do. And again, I've said this before, but I respect anybody that can pull off the solo podcast. Mm-hmm. It is not easy. But continue, please.
Well, you tell me, why was the first episode about Danko Jones?
Well, basically, I had stalked Baco from afar on the Decibel Geek website. I'd read several of his articles, and I liked his literary style where he always threw boner into his reviews. And I thought this guy has a very similar idiotic sense of humor. But more importantly, his love for Danko Jones and his last album, Fire Music, finally decided me to take the plunge and reach out in a heterosexual way online to another man. and that basically was the start of the podcast. We busted out a Danko Jones episode and a Kiss episode in one night after knowing each other for like 30 seconds before we started recording. And now we have done what?
Well, this is going to be episode 68, I believe.
68, and we've interviewed the man that started, basically brought us together in the first place. Isn't that a beautiful story?
Oh, it is. It really is amazing.
This
is
a big... I'm tearing up. Oh, Michael, it's been such a journey.
We worked so hard for this, Luth.
Anyway, what?
Did you have any idea when we started that this would be happening right now?
All right, Bucko, so let's move on from this cry fest, joy fest, and...
No. I want to cry.
All right, well, you can. But tears of joy. But anyway, so why don't you tell the world how you kind of put this together, how this interview came to be?
Well, he's got the new record coming out, Wildcat, and in the back of my mind, I was like, you know, we pretty much started the this whole journey of Cobras and Fire based on our shared, you know, rock boners for Danko Jones. I figured I might as well ask this guy if he can join the hook us up with the Danko podcast interview, and sure enough, he did.
Yes, and you got that scheduled. You gave me a call when we were going over the Cobras and Fire, you know, weekly meeting when we...
Yeah, we had actually talked to you earlier in the day, and it was not on the agenda. And then I called you later at night, and which is not... That's not common, correct?
No, not really. But anyway, I mean, it was not on the agenda. The agenda we never follow and we fight about and almost cease the podcast from existing. Yes, I answered, and you said, hey, I got an interview with Danko Jones. It's scheduled for 9 a.m. on Friday.
I can't do it. How about you?
Yeah, and I can't do it, so here you go, bitch. Can you figure it out? And from that point forward, we kind of went back and forth with questions, and we always want to do interviews together and stuff like that. It doesn't all work out, but we
do the interviews that get thrown at us that we're interested in. Is that correct?
Exactly.
Yeah, sometimes you just can't really line it all up, so it's not that big a deal.
Yeah, no, but I mean, when we did Bruce Kulick, you had questions you threw in there. Mm-hmm. You've done Boba Flex.
Oh, we always do that, yeah.
Yeah, Wilson and stuff like that. So even though we're not together on the interview, we definitely contribute towards it. But yeah, so going forward, I mean, 2017, we definitely want to do more interviews. But this one and I don't think you've been in this situation for the other ones, too. The other ones with, like, Boba Flex Wilson, Bruce Kulick for me, you didn't have a very limited time frame, right? It wasn't just, like, 20 minutes.
Well, I know the first Boba Flex one was pretty limited, but no, for the most part, you're right. I mean, the ones I do at Northern Invasion that I've never put on the podcast, maybe this year, but they're all, like, 4 or 5 minutes. So I'm familiar with the scenario, but it's difficult.
Right, right. See, I've done interviews, you know, over the years and everything, but I've never had the essentially what Danko's done is in the last month he mentioned he did 75 interviews, total, and it's essentially a press.
And almost none with American press.
Exactly. Yeah. So for this interview, he had already done like all week. Had the schedule, I think, for 10 in a row a day. So he's doing them for 5 hours a day, half hour at a clip, you know, exactly at 11. He called me at exactly at 9 a.m. And it was done exactly by, I think we went over a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. So I think he liked you.
Exactly. Give me an extra 5 minutes. But it was, you know, he's restricted, you know? So it's not a very natural sit down and have a conversation. But Bako and I had this intro question that we thought was just genius. Yes.
Well, let the genius meter slants a little more your way, but yeah, I liked it.
You liked it. You agreed this was a good one.
Yeah.
And part of it is the fact that if you don't know, if you go check out, if you're a Danko Jones fan at all, go check out his podcast because he does interviews with Marty. Yeah. He does interviews with Marty Friedman, for example, of formerly of Megadeth, where he's also guested on his album and things like that. But they'll basically sit down.
I love the Friedman episode where all they talk about is Kiss.
That's where I'm going. He actually has at least two, possibly three, and that's all they talk about. So he is into the minutia, like we are.
Oh, yeah.
Just
more
all
than
that
us,
stuff.
I think.
Yes. So my point of knowing that is like, okay, this dude's going to completely understand this question I'm going to throw out. And the fact is that he'd done 75 interviews before. He'd hear it. He's used to hearing the standard questions, and this flew way over his head, and it did not start the interview well. So we're gonna show you that. we believe in transparency at the Cobras and Fire headquarters. So we're gonna play this blooper at the end after the interview. But all I'm saying about this is the interview starts off. What we don't want to do at this podcast most of the time is do the standard questions like tell me your favorite tracks, tell me about the tour, things like that. And because this went
never been our cup of tea.
No, but because this went so off the rails in the beginning, I went right on the standard interview questions. And then it seemed once we were back on track, then the interview got really good past that. Wouldn't you agree?
I think you're being a little too protective. You asked one kind of standard question and the interview just kind of rolls from there. Give yourself a little pat on the back, Luce. I loved it.
All right, fine.
I thought it was great.
So yeah, Baco, enough about the pomp and circumstance. You want to get into the shit or what?
Yeah, let's get to it, man.
I want to rock. What about you?
I want to rock.
I want to now. I want to know. I got to rock. I need to roll. If you can't hang with the speed I go, I'm going to roll tonight. I want to now. I want to know. I got to rock. I need to roll. If you can't hang with the speed I go, I'm going to roll tonight. 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 Set this time alive.
Hi, it's Danko Jones calling.
Danko Jones, thanks for calling us and doing this interview. Really appreciate it.
Cool.
Danko Jones is to rock as heavy petting is to teenagers. Vastly unheralded in the U.S., Danko is a synonym for rock and roll. A man whose alarm clock rings for those about to rock by AC/DC, whose bedtime story is the dirt by Motley Crue, and whose dreams are filled with flying Vs and Ace Frehley solos. People, we're talking 24/7 rock and roll. We are honored to have Danko as our special guest today. His new record, called Wildcat, comes out on March 3rd, and he's here to tell you all about it. How are you today, sir?
Good, doing well.
So your latest press release is spectacular. I mean, it just talks all rock. The fact that you start off the album with two songs in rock in the title is a great start to the album. You want to kind of elaborate on the album?
Oh, well, let's see. This is the 8th studio album. It's the first time we've actually done a record where at all the markers were kept. I mean, we have the same producer as Fire Music.
Yep.
We have the same lineup, and we did it in the same studios. From album to album, if you count Born a Lion as our first studio album, and every single successive record, there was always one of those elements that changed, if not more or all. So from Born a Lion to We Sweat Blood, we changed producers and the studio. And then from We Sweat Blood to Sleep is the Enemy, we changed the studio. And then from Sleep is the Enemy to... I believe it was Never Too Loud. We changed the lineup, the producer, the studio, and on and on it goes. So Fire Music to Wildcat was the first time that nothing was changed. We finally just settled on a really good combination that allowed us to put out a really good album. Like Fire Music was pretty much across the board received very well, and Wildcat is doing so as well, I'm noticing. And a lot of it has to do with us keeping what worked the first time around. The lineup changes obviously were kind of, you know, beyond our control to a certain degree. But yeah, producer changes. I mean, Eric was a great, I mean, we've known Eric since 1999. So he, you know, has come into his own, as a kind of well-respected, well-renowned, well-sought-after, very sought-after producer. So we watched our careers, you know, run parallel, and it was time to work together for Fire Music. And he likes to work out of certain studios. And for us, it was fine. I mean, going into Vespa Music for Fire Music wasn't a new thing for us. We had done that with him back in 1999. So we knew, you know, what that meant. And then going into Revolution Studios to do drums for Fire Music was great too. So we just, we did the exact same thing we did for Wildcat. The only thing that changed was, you know, we have new labels involved. But other than that, you know, pretty much the band is on a really good track.
Yeah, same drummer, same exact lineup. Which and you can definitely, I can definitely tell the vibe is almost very similar, right, for both as far as the sound and everything.
Yeah, well, I mean, of course, you always want to better what you did previous.
Yes.
But I'm a creature of habit, so when we figure out something that works, I always like to just continue that, whether it's my guitar sound live or in the studio or anything. I just play the same guitar I always do. But of course, Eric, you know, felt he could, you know, change a few things that were improvements from the last record to this. Very slight, something that I think a lot of people wouldn't be able to clue in on just cursory listens. So, but nothing that changed the equation. So we all just really just knowing that we would have Eric as producer in the studios that we were familiar with, we didn't worry too much and just worked on some songs that we thought were good. We've gotten a little better at, you know, writing songs over the years, and we kind of know what kind of band we are now. You know, there's just no pressure, and there's no pressure to follow up anything. Nothing went platinum. We don't have to live up to any certain, you know, amount of success. We're just kind of putting out a record. So that allows for a certain amount of pressure to be taken off, and you could just have fun. And I think the result is just those songs on Wildcat and Fire Music to a certain degree, although it was a little angrier. Wildcat, we just wanted to have fun with these songs.
No, absolutely. The first five out the gate, I love. Title track. It's been a great listen. I've probably spent it about 10 times with the advanced copy we received. So, yeah.
Cool.
And any of those, you know, specifically that are, have you already added to the set list or planning on like a top three or two to start?
Yeah. I mean, as you know, a band puts out, you know, most bands don't get past the third album, let alone their eighth. And then we've got three albums of just full compilations of B-sides and all that. So there's 11 full albums of original material. It gets hard to separate,
sure,
you know, and decide what's going to make a set list every night. So there's a certain amount of, you know, you have to please the audience with the songs they're most familiar with. You have to please yourself. You have to please the people who've, you know, maybe seen you more than three or four times with deeper cuts. So there's all these, you know, groups of people you have to please with a set list. It gets harder and harder. But with this new album, I mean, right now we're playing three songs. We could play the whole record, but I don't think people would want that. So we're sticking right now with four songs. And maybe we might throw in a fifth one or swap some out, you know, as the tours or as the tour cycle goes on.
Very cool. What are those four, by the way?
Well, obviously the single, My
Yep.
Little R&R.
Sure. Right. Which is still rock. Then, that's still rock in the title. You can't trick me.
Right. Yeah, right. Well, I mean, My Little R&R is a play on the Rolling Stones' Tattoo You Little TNA, so just using, you know, acronyms and letters and so that's why we went with R&R. It wasn't to eschew like using the word rock yet again.
I hear you.
No, for a millionth time. I could have every song on the album have the word rock in it. I don't mind. People seem to be puzzled by that, but not me. So that's in the set. Going Out Tonight is a song that we've played on the last few kind of shows we've done. We haven't played a lot since we've been in the studio, and it's been 6 months. We've done a handful of shows, but in those shows, we've played Going Out Tonight, My Little R&R. Just last week, we did a couple of shows in Finland, and we threw in You Are My Woman in the set.
Perfect.
And we've been playing I Gotta Rock in rehearsals. So we've played Wildcat, and we've played Let's Start Dancing in rehearsals as well. So we could do those too, but we'll see.
Those are the ones I immediately thought would be perfect in the set list. And a little Thin Lizzy on You're My Woman, yeah?
A little. It was more like a lot. I mean, when you come up with a riff like that, which was, sure, I think, the first riff that anchored the song, and we kept at it, was, actually the verse and the chorus riffs kind of came in tandem. Once you have those kinds of riffs, you make a creative decision whether you should kind of mask it, you know, like with the melody, or maybe the chorus would have a different kind of chorus, or, you know, you don't want it to sound too Thin Lizzy. Or you can take the other direction, which is a celebration of those riffs, you know, and make it sound like Thin Lizzy, like reference the source, pay tribute to the source, and don't shy away from it. So that's what we did. I mean, we've been compared to Thin Lizzy since year two of our band. I don't know why. I don't think we've ever sounded like Thin Lizzy. But it doesn't mean we aren't huge, huge fans. So when those riffs, you know, showed themselves to us, we just said, let's finally show everybody how to do this. So sure, that's what we did.
No, absolutely. So, you know, I know that you just announced either last night or this morning your European tour, which is going all the way till August, I believe. Is that accurate?
Well, I mean, there's a European tour that was just, I just posted something.
Right.
Well, our webmaster just posted something on our Facebook page, and I kind of just copied and pasted what he posted on Instagram, which is just a reminder of the upcoming European tour. It starts mid-March and ends ends March 31st. So that's kind of the first leg of the European tour. We'll obviously do all the rest of the countries and the cities in Europe in the fall. And there's always going to be the 3 months of summer festivals. And already, you know, places in Austria, Germany, Finland are already booked. We're playing in Belgium at Grass Pop. And so those festivals are already booked. So we are going to be doing European festivals this summer.
Yeah. And when I see that announcement, it's both a geography lesson for those in the U.S., but it's also, you know, it's great to see that, but also, you know, it's been a couple years since you've been back in the U.S. And I know you just recently did your recent podcast was kind of the state of just pure rock bands like Wildlife, Biters, you know, things like that. What do you think about I guess my question is, from from being in Canada, what is the main challenge to doing another U.S. tour? Because it's been a little bit conversation.
The challenge is money.
Right.
America is a very big country, and in order to tackle it properly, you need money, tour support, and that doesn't come easily these days due to the state of the music industry. We've done all kinds of tours in America for years. Actually, since year one of our band, we only wanted to tour America. We didn't want to tour Canada. But, you know, money makes it hard for a band to tour. America is one country, but really I feel it's like 50 countries. You know, like each state is a country unto itself, and it's really hard for a band to keep going and going and going, and that's the biggest barrier, really. It has nothing else other than that. It just boils down to money. If we were able to do it, if everybody got behind it, then it would be great. But you can't tour on a kind of a B level where we are, or a C level. You can't tour America and expect to come out of it having your rent paid. You can't do that. If we could tour America constantly and tour, but that means like me living in my mom's basement, and it's really hard. It really boils down to that. People ask us all the time, like, why aren't you coming to San Diego, and why aren't you coming back to Boston, and why aren't you coming back to, you know, Austin? Well, we'd love to, and I'm not ruling it out. We would love to do that. It's just, we just have to make sure that it's a right tour. The last tour we did of America was the Uproar Tour, and that was a touring festival type thing. And under those conditions, we said yes, because a lot of things were taken care of that we didn't have to worry about, including, you know, having an audience show up. You know, we were kind of piggybacking off of other bands' audiences, you know, and that's how we did it in Europe. We would play with bands, and their fans or their audience would see us, and then the next time we're around, they'd come to the gig, or we'd play these big festivals, and they wouldn't know who we are, but the next time we come to the city, the club's rammed. So that's how we were able to do Uproar, and we said yes to the Volbeat tour in 2013 as well. Same reason. So I'm not ruling anything out. I mean, the stars kind of got to line up properly in right. order to do it. You know, we'd love to do it. Shit. I mean, it's the reason, like, I mean, American bands are, how many American bands can I name that are direct influences on our music?
Right. And so essentially it comes down to the fact that these conglomerates doing the fests, for example, maybe are not as supportive for, you know, they seem to drop off big when you read about them for the compensation for the, but you play like in the higher tiers in Europe. It's just sad to see that there's not that support.
Well, I hate to lay blame on the audience, but I've noticed that people will go where they're told to go. I mean, I notice in America, there's a lot of compartmentalization when it comes to music. If Agreed. You like this kind of music, you can't like this kind of music. And to me, that's always been a really weird way to approach music. And when we finally started touring Europe, it was like a breath of fresh air. And I don't leave Canada out of that kind of mindset. Same goes for Canada. If you play this kind of music, you can't even like this kind of music. So it's more of a North American thing. But in Europe, not so much. I mean, of course, there is a little bit of that, but not so much. So it was really kind of refreshing to go over there and be embraced by people who like heavy metal, you know, people who like even, you know, other kinds of musics. But especially in North America, if you like heavy metal, you can't like rock and roll, and vice versa. Or actually, more just one way. I find like a lot of metalheads in North America, they won't deliberately like rock and roll. It's a weird thing. Whereas you meet the metal bands that all of them like, and they love, everyone's blasting AC/DC on the tour bus. So it's man, I just wish people could think about music differently in North America.
No, and that's the whole thing with Rise of Podcast too, and playing, you know, radio sucks. We have the like on Decibel Geek, we have a whole segment called Radio Sucks Radio, where we just play everything that obviously the radio is not playing. And you know, like a Volbeat Danko Jones tour to our audience, that's a perfect tour where it's just pure fun from start to finish. And that kind of leads me to my next question, which was when I saw the Metallica, Avenged, and Volbeat return together, I was hoping, praying to see that you would be on that list too. just because I don't know if that sounds insane, but I was like, well, Volbeat, you know, I believe Volbeat and Metallica are the same management. You obviously have that relationship with being on Black Rose, but my God, that would have been spectacular, I thought.
No, well, I mean, listen, if we got the offer to do that tour, you better believe we're going to be
I know. But so there was no, obviously you have a friendship with Volbeat. There was no either, it sounded like there was never even a conversation on that.
Oh God, no. I mean, that kind of tour, there's about 10,000 bands who want to get on that tour. You know, it's not just us.
I just see like a Gojira. I'm like, okay. Just a personal opinion. I'm like that, but that goes to your whole thing about compartmentalizing. Like it could have been a rock band starting it off, like a big, you know, you guys are so fun live. I saw in Rock on the Range in 2010 when you shared the stage with Steel Panther after you. And
it's just, we didn't just share the stage. We shared a dressing room with them.
So you saw the wigs. Good.
They're nice guys. They're nice guys. Well, here's the thing is we toured with Volbeat in 2013 in America and only half the time were we received very well. That's another thing.
That's a damn shame.
I'm very surprised, and it's not just us. I've talked to a lot of bands who, when they're the opener in America, they're a lot of times they're booed or heckled, and it's puzzling because, well, they're on the tour because the headliner, the band you're there to see, wanted them on, so why don't you give them a chance and maybe you'll like them too if you like their band. Seems like you guys have the similar taste in music. You like what they make and they like what they make, you know? So not often was the case. There were times on the tour where, you know, the audience gave us a chance and it was great. But there were times where we would just look at each other going, I don't get it. Like, we don't sound like a pop band. Especially with Volbeat, like the degrees away from each other are minuscule. So there's also that, and that just brings me back to how people view music, you know, like it's really, really odd. And the same goes for other tours we've done in America where we've toured with more radio rock bands, like more radio friendly radio rock pop bands, same response. So, you know, any other band, if they've never toured outside of North America, would go, maybe it's us. But then when we do, we don't get that. So I really wish more people would listen to music differently.
No, I agree. And the industry doesn't even know how to handle it. I mean, the recent Grammys, the Metallica performance was a disaster. The fact that Megadeth walked out to Master of Puppets, you know, that kind of stuff. I mean, I almost think that the Grammys should just drop the rock and metal category because they have no idea how to handle it.
I agree. And I really don't think metal bands or heavy music bands or anything should give these award ceremonies any mind.
No, it's a joke. Disrespect.
We in Canada have Canada just copies whatever America does. So if the Grammys have a heavy music category, well, it'll just be a year or two before, the Junos have one too. Right. And it's great that a lot of heavy music gets a little bit of a spotlight there. But, I mean, it's only now, this year, finally, is Devin Townsend nominated for a Juno, which to me, man, that should have happened years ago. It just gets me so mad.
No, I hear you. And that your recent podcast talking about the state of rock in general, I completely agree. Going back to Volbeat really quick, because Black Rose was definitely one of my favorite songs of last year. And just so you know, I'm not sure if this is just Spotify in America, but it says 11 million streams. It's the top five of Volbeat songs total. I don't know if you can see
that. Oh, really?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, top, like when you pull up Spotify, it's in the top five of all the Volbeat songs. So,
oh, man. So maybe the next time we go on tour with Volbeat, they won't boo us.
That's what I'm saying, especially if you get on stage with them. I mean, that's the thing. And by the way, just on the side thing, what was it like to record the first understandable vocal on the Volbeat album?
Oh, well, I mean, first of all, I mean, Michael's great.
He's phenomenal. That, again, this comes from a place of we're massive Volbeat fans too.
Right, right. I mean, I think Michael is one of the, man, there's so many shady characters in music, and Michael is a man of his word. Like, he's just has my complete respect. And for him to ask me to sing on a Volbeat track was a huge honor. I was like blown away by that. And I basically said, like, I'll sing it until you're happy.
Yeah.
He gave me the song. We didn't write it together. He gave me the song completed with his vocals as guides. He told me where to sing. He told me pretty much how to sing it too. Cause I followed his guide, and then we sent it over, and you know, cause we're doing this on two separate continents.
Sure.
It's hard, you know, if you're not in the same room together. So he gave me some suggestions, and then we went back into the studio and I recut the vocals. I'm totally cool with that. Like, when I'm in the studio laying vocals down and it's for your album, I'm going to do them till you're happy with them. So yeah, that's kind of how I did it. So I, you know, there's no ego there for me. I'll just do it till he's happy. Feeling rich, feeling poor, feeling nothing more. Self-destructive on a roller coaster fireball. Cut her tongue, don't believe her what she says. She's on a hunt, cooking, cooking, cooking misery. Left my heart on a shelf for way too long. Sick and tired, bring it up from the dirty fire. I saw the line of snakes that came to me. I'm glad it worked out for them, and I'm glad he liked what I did. You know, that's all. Once I got the okay email from him going, this sounds great, my job's done. I was happy as hell. So that's all that matters to me. Whether it's top five on Spotify, even though that's great, doesn't mean as much as Michael going, that sounds amazing. So that's it, you know.
Of course, but definitely exposure. And the great thing about that song too is the fact that it's equally, to my ears, a Danko and a Volbeat song. It's just a perfect blend where sometimes with guest vocals, you're just kind of on there, but it just kind of seems as a flavor.
Right.
So.
Right. It just sounds like someone was brought in so they can plaster their name on the album cover.
Right, exactly.
But I actually genuinely loved the song when I heard it. It only took like a couple of listens, and I'm like, wow, I can knock this fucking song out of the park, man. I was really excited to sing it. So that was great. And then when I finally heard the whole album, when it was all done, I really enjoyed it. You know, I can't put it in my top 10 because I have a quiet rule of not putting albums that I'm on my top 10. So it was automatically ruled out of my top 10, but I do enjoy listening to it from beginning to end. I think it's a pretty solid Volbeat album.
Yeah, and also you're guesting a couple years ago on Marty Friedman's solo, the I Can't Relax, another good one.
Yeah, the Inferno. I was actually on three tracks on that album. I sang another Lycanthrope with Alexi Laiho, mm-hmm, from Children of Bodom on that album. And then there's another song that I sang that was part of the deluxe edition of that album.
And talking about side projects too, and I know we're running out of time, but you want to talk about, yeah, Iron Magazine real quick?
Iron Magazine is a side project. I've never been in one before. It's with JC and I from our band. We teamed up with UC Lettasalo and Tommy Lepinen from the Finnish avant rock psych band Circle to form Iron Magazine. And it came about from a few years back, maybe 4 years back, coming on 5 years. I was in Helsinki doing press, and I started to ask people about Circle. I'm like, well, I know about Circle. Like, but who's behind this? Like, what is this? Like, who are these guys? And so they hipped me to UC. I got a contact, and it took about a year for us to start emailing back and forth to each other. And then we both realized that we have the same taste in music. We like the same kinds of music, and we get along really well. He's a really cool guy, really nice guy. And he had these songs kicking around from another project of his called Actor with Chris Black from Noctemystium, and he was in High Spirits and Dawnbringer. So Chris didn't sing on those tracks, so he said, could you sing on these? And I said, yeah. So I sent it to him, you know, one at a time over a period of maybe about a month, when I'd figure out vocals, and then I tracked them for real, and there you go. It's a 4-song EP. I think we're going to start working on a full-length album soon. It's been received really well, so I'm happy about Iron Magazine too. It's just weird because it comes out a couple of weeks after our actual album, so promoing Iron Magazine with Wildcat is a first for me. I've never had to do that. And then Volbeat just released Black Rose as the third single. So it's three songs or albums or projects at the same time. And I've never been in a situation like that. So it's quite interesting. Yeah. But then it's funny because yesterday on Instagram, some dude left a message on our Instagram, and he's from Barrie, which is like an hour and a half away from where I live, basically saying, you're all washed up. Why don't you go work at Tim Hortons, which is like, you know, the donut.
Yeah.
And we couldn't help but laugh so loud at that, because it's like my biggest problem right now is like having to promo these three things at the same time. It's great. And it's, of course, it comes from the home front. Right. I mean, of course.
Right. Well, listen, yeah. I mean, you know, what's infectious about Danko Jones, the band, and the man in general, it's just they're such a fan of rock, from your podcast, from your writing on various publications. And it's just a great thing to see from a band out there in general. So really appreciate you coming on the show today and spending your time. I know you got another one coming up in a few seconds here. So anything you want to mention before we wrap up?
No. I'm really bad at plugging my own shit.
Wildcat on March 3rd, European tour. And we hope that the state of rock does improve, because America needs Danko.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Danko. Bye now.
All right. Bye-bye.
You look so good when you get out of bed. Always ready to go. I caught you looking like a million bucks when you walked out the door.
I told you that was a good interview. I'd like to play a song out, but before we do that, we promised everybody to share the blooper that you teased. Why don't you explain why this is such a blooper for you?
Well, it's one of those things where at like any situation, like you meet somebody for the first time or whatever, and you say something that just like goes like that. It's just a face-palming moment.
It's even better though that like you and I talked about it, and it's you know, it's kind of one of our things though. We kind of lead with kind of a little bit of a humor and see where it goes.
Right. And just so you know, too, I mean, Danko is doing a ton of these interviews, and I completely set him up with describing, hey, by the way, you're talking to a United States podcast. We are a lighthearted, you know,
couple of jackasses.
Couple of jackasses. The name Cobras and Fire is kind of like Savage Animal or Steel Panther or Ridiculous. And I said, like, anything we say is out of like a, you know, a place of respect, love, all that stuff like that. We're just having fun, all this stuff. So that was a precursor. And then we'll go into a second. But basically what I said was a very Kiss-related reference where it's something I thought he would pick up immediately.
Pretty hardcore, though. Do you want to explain it?
Well, it's just basically it's a question. We were talking about a press release, and it's something that Gene and Paul have said every new album release, because that's what this is for.
Well, let's at least say a lot of album releases.
Fine. every album release. And it turns out, though, that the reason it fell so flat is because he's done all these interviews lately. And
you hear it, too. Like, when he starts, he totally misses even you explaining it. Because he's just so, like, beat down on this stuff.
Right, but because remember when we did the whole, like, we were reading from his press...
It turns out you actually picked out a weak point and something that he's already dealt with for a while.
Right, so it went completely sideways, but the main thing I'm getting to is that we thought the fact that he wrote us, remember we said, like, Danko writes his own press releases?
Oh, I remember you said that, yeah.
Well, yeah, because it sounds like it's so over the top and everything, and they're amazing press releases.
Well, we've listened to his podcast. It's the way he talks, man.
Right, it's all that stuff, so we look at that. What turns out that somebody on his label has been basically writing complete inaccuracies about things, and it's come up on probably countless interviews. It's like, I've had enough of this. I did not say this, is basically his response. So enough about this. You want to just get into it?
Yeah, let's play that, and then we're going to close out with the song that I like to call something that you're not going to know until you hear it, Luce.
Great. So until next time, remember, rock's not dead. It's hiding. And very awkward at the beginning of an interview.
Good job.
Your latest press release says your new album is a perfect blend of Destroyer and Creatures of the Night. You want to elaborate on that?
I didn't write that, so there's nothing to elaborate. That's someone else's words.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had a list from every press release from Kiss for the last 30 years for their album release. I apologize. Sorry.
Yeah, no. I mean, whenever we put out a record, we get someone to write the bio. And obviously, we have to okay the bio. But, I mean, I don't know what to comment about. I didn't write that. Those weren't my words. So, I mean, I love Creatures of the Night. I'm not a big Destroyer fan. So...
I'll take that out. It was just supposed to be riff on your Kiss, your Kiss stuff. That's all.
Oh, that's fine. I mean, if you want to talk about Kiss, we can. But when doing these interviews for this press run, a few people, you know, they go to the bio, which is a natural thing to do. And I'm starting to realize that there's a lot of inconsistencies that we kind of overlooked or didn't catch when we okayed the bio.
Okay.
Like, I think it's said there, my first record I bought was Kiss Destroyer. It was Alive. Little things like that. And I'm just kind of like, I need to say that now because I'm kind of kicking myself for not, like, looking over the bio a little harder than we both did. Me and JC realized that.
Okay. All right. Let me just start that over just to make it smooth for you. I apologize.
Okay, sure.
Just playing around a little bit. But okay. All right.
Are you ready for a revolution? Time to raise the stakes. Everybody wants it so easy. Too many people want their 1 hour breaks. There's a fucked up shakedown. It happens every night. But tonight it's gonna change forever when the tough brass takes a bit of fist that of sex. Been waiting long, but it happens fast. Gonna get a backstage pass. I pledge allegiance to the rock and roll proletariat. Get up and get even. Show those motherfuckers that you mean it. One in a million strong. Do what it takes, take what you want. On the guest list, I pledge allegiance.
Leading change, building a team, or implementing new procedures, Gonzaga University's online Master's in Organizational Leadership gives you the tools for success. With concentrations in change, global, and servant leadership, you'll get the most relevant training and education to help you tackle any challenge. Visit gonzaga.edu/leader and find out how Gonzaga's organizational leadership degree can affect positive change in your life and career. That's gonzaga.edu/leader.
The Premier League soccer season is heating up. Turn to Betting Weekly English Premier League on the Bet Rivers Network for the best bets and analysis for this week's features. Subscribe to Betting Weekly Premier League today, wherever you get your podcasts. If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the Bet Rivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.